WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. In the mid to late 60s, many rock musicians began to incorporate country music into their sound. Rock and roll historian Ed Ward says much of the credit goes to the late Gram Parsons.
The jukebox is playing a honky-tonk song. One more I keep saying, and then I'll go home.
I guess the relationship between country music and rock and roll could be likened to one of those married couples who fight all the time and keep throwing each other out of the house but still profess to be deeply in love. A good part of rock and roll started out as country music, after all. Elvis's first break came on the Louisiana Hayride, second only to the Grand Ole Opry as a country music showcase. But in the 60s, the country was polarized, and the poor white Southerner was looked upon by the hippies as the enemy.
He's a drugstore truck driving man. He's the head of Ku Klux Klan. When summer rolls around, he'll be lucky if he's not in town.
Songs like The Byrds' Drugstore Truck Driving Man probably didn't help matters either. Still, there were rockers who realized the debt that was owed to country music, mostly those who had started off as folk musicians, like the Byrds' Roger McGuinn. But the real catalyst for joining the two streams was a Harvard dropout from Waycross, Georgia, named Gram Parsons. In 1966, he decided to put together a rock band with country flavor, or maybe a country band that rocked, and in the spirit of the times, he named it the International Submarine Band.
Well, a luxury liner, 40 tons. If I don't find my baby now, then I guess I never will. I've been a long lost soul for a long, long time. I've been around. Everybody ought to know what's on my mind. You think I'm lonesome, so do I, so do I.
Songs like Luxury Liner weren't exactly country, and despite ecstatic liner notes from Glenn Campbell and Don Everly, who said he'd like to see them on the Opry, the band remained true to its name and sank. Parsons, however, had had some contact with the West Coast rock and roll scene, and eventually he ran into Roger McGuinn, who was looking to pull the Byrds into a more countrified direction. He invited Parsons to join the band, and between December 1967 and October 1968, they made history together.
In South Carolina, there are many tall pines. I remember the oak tree that we used to climb, but now. I always pretend that I'm getting the feel of Hickory Wind.
Hickory Wind was an International Submarine Band song that surfaced on the Byrds' Sweetheart of the Rodeo album, a record that seems pretty tame today but shocked and surprised people in 1968 when it first came out. It had been recorded in Nashville and it used such hardcore country musicians as steel guitarist Lloyd Green. But the Byrds' take on country music was a decidedly Western one, as the 30s cowgirl on Sweetheart of the Rodeo's cover made plain. They were portraying a sort of Hollywood cowboy fantasy, not the sort of grim reality that was being recorded a few miles north in Bakersfield by the likes of Buck Owens and Merle Haggard. The Byrds' myths were being written by people like Bob Dylan.
Clouds so swift, rain won't lift, gate won't close, railings froze. Get your mind off winter time, you ain't going nowhere. Right
Dylan had sent the Byrds a tape of songs, including You Ain't Going Nowhere, which showed that he, too, was inclining toward country music. Late in 1968, the Byrds made a stupid mistake and agreed to a tour of South Africa. Strangely, all the Northern liberals in the group went for it, and the white Southern gentleman, Graham Parsons, quit rather than support apartheid. He rounded up a few of his submarine band friends and formed another band called the Flying Burrito Brothers. By the time their first album was out, he was already embarking on a solo career and hanging out and recording with the Rolling Stones. By the time Parsons was recording solo again, he was very erratic and depended a lot on a brilliant backup singer named Emmylou Harris to carry the show.
Won't you scratch my itch, sweet Annie Ridge, and welcome me back to town? Come out on your porch or step into your parlor and I'll tell you how it all went down. Out with the truckers and the kickers and the cowboy angels, and a good saloon in every single town. Oh, and I remembered something you once told me, and I'd be damned if it did not come true. 20,000 roads I went down, 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 and they all led me straight back home to you.
Parsons died in 1973, probably of drugs, although the autopsy was inconclusive, and made headlines when some friends stole his body and tried to cremate it in the desert outside L.A. By the time he died, Graham Parsons' influence had started dozens of country rockers on their way, and today they do sing his songs on the Opry.
Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll. He also writes for the Austin Chronicle. This is Fresh Air.